You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's that for playoff Harden? The reigning MVP put in 41 points for the game, 28 in the second half in overtime, and 5 in the final 50 seconds, all against the most talented roster ever assembled in the two-time defending champion Golden State Warriors, and with the season on the brink for the Rockets, who entered down 2-0 in this best-of-7 round 2 series. No team has ever overcome a 3-0 deficit in the NBA in a best-of-7 series, and it's hard to see it happening against the Golden State Warriors. Fortunately, the Rockets won't have to find out whether they could be the first team, hint, they would not have, because James Harden rescued them when they needed it most, leading the Rockets to a 126-121 Game 3 victory that puts them within 2-1 in the best-of-7 series. Game 4, which offers Houston an opportunity to tie it at 2 apiece before the series shifts back to Oakland, is Monday night, also at Toyota Center. So on that note, welcome in to a new episode on this Sunday and a new week here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Now, to be clear, this win was not all about James Harden. Eric Gordon had 30 points, 11 of 20 from the field, 7 of 14 from 3. The version of EG that we have seen really since the calendar flipped to March, and especially against the Golden State Warriors, where for 2 years running, he has been so good when the Rockets need him most. He stepped up again tonight, even though James started 2 of 9 from the field. Eric Gordon's performance early is what allowed the Rockets, unlike Game 1 and Game 2, to play from in front. I'm certainly not forgetting him. Also, PJ Tucker, even though Kevin Durant scored 46 points and had 12 rebounds, 39 of those came prior to the 10-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Durant largely went off after Tucker got in foul trouble in the second half and late in the first half, and PJ's got to be more disciplined, and certainly the Warriors are good at drawing fouls, but when it mattered, boy, was PJ's one-on-one defense against Kevin Durant really, really good. He was also everywhere on the glass, an animal, 12 boards. Clint Capella stepped up, 13 points, 11 boards, even had him on the floor late in the game, 35 minutes total. So lots of things went well for Houston. This was not just the James Harden show. Chris Paul, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. By the way, the Rockets collectively out-rebounded Golden State 55-35. What a stunning turnaround that is after seeing the Rockets minus 12 and minus 4, an average of minus 8 in the first two games. They played like a team who knew their playoff lives were on the line, and they got this win. That said, against a team as good as Golden State, you can do so many things right over the first three quarters, and then when they have an opportunity to close, they know how to do it. And to me, the story was how the Rockets responded to that Durant flurry. The Rockets were up 10 late in the third quarter, and then Durant, the first couple of minutes of the fourth, when, in my opinion, Mike D'Antoni should have turned back to PJ Tucker with 4 fouls. You can put him out there to start the fourth. Durant all of a sudden put them from down 10 to up 1. The switch flipped that quickly. And the Warriors, even if they're a little bit lethargic on the glass, the shooters, the likes of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, they can catch fire in an instant. In my opinion, the most talented collection of shooters the game has ever seen. And the Rockets, they withstood quite a punch because the Warriors knew that with a win tonight, this would have put the series away. This is the one team in the Kevin Durant era that has actually challenged them. So you better believe that they wanted this game. They fought, they hustled. Thankfully, the Rockets matched that effort and then some. Again, an astounding plus 20 on the glass. Salute to, obviously, PJ Tucker and Clint Capella, 12 and 11, but also James Harden had 9, Chris Paul had 8. There was just an overall gang rebounding approach, I thought. Again, 17 combined from your backcourt, James and CP3, which really helps win those hustle plays, those extra possessions, which is what, when the Warriors were in Golden State, that's what allowed them to win down the stretch of those games. So many second chances. Well, in Houston, in front of an electric crowd at Toyota Center, the energy flipped. So I want to give our due to the entire Rockets squad. They played like a desperate team, and they got the win that they deserved. That said, the clear lead storyline here in the first segment of our usual 3 points recap is James Harden. Because even relative to a year ago, you think back to the games that went down to the wire in the Western Conference Finals, Game 4 and Game 5, which the Rockets both won. It was Chris Paul and Eric Gordon that hit the big shots when the game was on the line. In this case, when Andre Iguodala hit a corner three that felt like it could have been the dagger to put the Warriors up two with 48 seconds left, it was Harden who took the ball hard into the paint, got fouled, made both free throws to tie the game. I'm not exactly sure why, after the Rockets forced a Warriors miss, that Harden didn't get the shot on the last possession of regulation. Chris Paul did and got tied up. I think that was clearly a mistake, and overtime proved why, because down the stretch, Harden started it off with a floater from nearly 15 feet. In the second half, he finally got that going after struggling with it for a lot of the playoffs. It sure helps that Rudy Gobert isn't out there anymore. But in the final minute, a three over Andre Iguodala, one-on-one. Harden made his move from up top, and 25-plus feet away, he buried it to put the Rockets up six. Then after Durant was fouled, ill-advised, on a three, cutting it back to a one-possession game, Harden then used the floater, absorbed the contact. You can say, well, should it have been an offensive foul? Look, they let contact go both ways all night long, so it's a little ridiculous to say that Harden should have been whistled for a charge right there. It was going to be physical, and there was going to be contact, and Harden braced for it, and he buried the shot, and a few seconds later, when Steph Curry got rejected by the rim on a dunk, one of the funniest endings to a game I've ever seen, the Rockets got out with the 126-121 win, and at 2-1, their season, for the moment, is saved. Now, they need to win Game 4 on Monday as well, because certainly if you go down 3-1 going back to Oracle for Game 5, that's not very good. But the Rockets, if they had lost tonight, it would have been over. Because of James Harden, late in regulation and in overtime, that did not happen. And even beyond this year, look, the Rockets are alive in this series. We'll talk about that more in the third and final segment, where we look at the series as a whole and why I believe the Rockets are in a better position than a lot of people give them credit for. But what we saw from James Harden tonight, to me, it reflects well even beyond this season. This was the kind of moment that for the franchise player, your MVP, makes you feel good, certainly about this series, but for a long, long time to come, that even against that level of competition, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant to help, one of the best defenses when they are engaged that the league has ever seen, so smart, for your MVP to deliver with the pressure of the season on the line against that team, what a performance. Because fair or unfair, we know that James Harden has taken a beating over his NBA career from at least the casuals, the narratives on NBA Twitter, for example, about not being up to par in the playoffs. Now, a lot of it is misguided because certainly, for example, his current playoff run, you play the Jazz and the Warriors, of course your numbers, your efficiency is going to go down a little bit relative to the regular season when half the time you're playing teams that don't even make the playoffs. Of course, against the Jazz and the Warriors fully focused, it's going to be harder. But what we saw from James tonight, we did not even see it a year ago. And keep in mind, he's still not even 30 years old. He's still growing up. It's one thing to make shots, even in the playoffs, in the first couple of quarters. It's another thing to close out games against, in this case, the king, the bully on the block, the, in my opinion, best team ever assembled, to make those shots over Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, regardless of who was on him, to make those shots at those moments. The free throws, by the way, that's a little thing, but down two, season on the line, and at home, and it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on those as well. And he made both of those in the final 40 seconds of regulation, and that's what got the Rockets to overtime. It wasn't a perfect finish for James. There were a lot of possessions, I thought, late in regulation where they held the ball too late in the shot clock. I've criticized him for that in the past, and it's tough because when you have a slight lead, which the Rockets did for most of the fourth quarter, you do want to make sure that you are playing the clock to some extent. You don't want to give the Warriors and their shooters extra time. But also, if you don't start your move in the 5 or 6 seconds left, then defenders as smart as Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson, Yeah, they're going to be able to better anticipate when you're going to launch or when you're going to pass. So there are some things that the Rockets, when they watch the closing minutes via film, are going to want to clean up. But the way that Harden persisted, the way that even when he struggled, and I go back to the end of the Utah series, game 5, the first half when things looked so bad, and then he finished by making 9 of his final 15 shots. In the past, I don't know that James Harden mid-game is able to turn around the type of start he had against Utah. Or heck, even tonight, he started 2 of 9. And then there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where it got really difficult. And some of it, you know, you can say the Rockets should have started earlier, initiated. And I think there's some truth in that earlier in the clock, as I was saying. But some of it, look, the Warriors are really freaking good. Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, tip your hat. Those guys are really, really good defenders. And for James not to get down, not to slump his shoulders, to keep pushing, this is the kind of performance against the best team in the NBA, maybe the most talented team ever assembled, that makes you believe that whether it be this year or in the future, that James Harden is capable of delivering you a championship with James as the foundation piece. In the past, despite what the numbers have shown, it hasn't always been that way. There has been some skepticism. Tonight, to see him in that moment, even a year ago, that didn't always happen in the playoffs. To see him against the two-time defending champs, that type of stage, take over, yeah, it gets the Rockets back in this series. And with James Harden and Chris Paul in their primes, yeah, this year is precious. It's all about that. But even beyond this year, what you want to believe, if you're a Houston Rockets fan, is that James Harden is capable of not just giving you one title, but hopefully multiple titles. This is the kind of performance. At the end of the day, it is one game. But when you consider the opponent and the stakes and the pressure of this game, this was one of the finest moments of his NBA career to date. And I say that as someone that's watched every game of his in Houston, that's seen him have so many ridiculous nights, 50-point triple-doubles. To see him do this with the pressure the Rockets were facing, season on the line, that opponent, and even if there were moments the Warriors seemed a bit disinterested on the glass, when they got that lead in the fourth quarter, they smelled blood. They knew this was their opportunity to land a haymaker. They didn't do it because James Harden was the guy who had the final uppercut. Kudos to the MVP. It wasn't a one-man show. The Rockets collectively, they wanted this game. Again, the staggering 55-35 rebounding differential reflects that. Also, they did limit the turnovers a bit, just 13, which is down from, I believe, 17 in game 2. So aside from a few late possessions, which were frustrating, the Rockets did, by and large, value possessions more. The hustle plays were theirs. But even with all of that, the Warriors found a way to get back, and they led in the fourth quarter, and they led with under a minute to go. This felt like a game in which they were making their statement that this is their league. And at least for one night, James Harden stalled that. This was not the clincher for Golden State. The series lives on to game 4, and most appropriately, the Rockets fans have the MVP to thank for that. Now remember, to get this show each and every day, you can subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya Podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. All right, now jumping back in to our Sunday morning recap of this 126-121 overtime victory by the Rockets in Game 3 of their Round 2 series against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. I'm Ben DuBose, your host, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on everything related to Houston Rockets basketball. We spent Segment 1 largely discussing James Harden, the reigning MVP who, when it mattered, had the huge shots in the final minute of overtime. 41 points overall, 9 boards, 6 assists. But of his 41 points, 28 came in the second half and overtime. Playoff Harden took on the definition that it should be known for, which is a guy that certainly has not been perfect, but by and large, he has been a ton better than the narratives give him credit for. And by and large, still a really, really good player. And even on the night that the Rockets took quite a punch from Kevin Durant, 39 points through 3 quarters and 2 minutes, 46 overall, 12 boards. Kevin Durant gave you the kind of show that made you feel like that he's the best player in the world, even over LeBron James. Those two are the titans of the league, or at least have been for this decade. And yet James Harden, the reigning MVP on his home floor, made sure that it was his team that went home happy. And in this case, beyond going home happy, they saved the series, because if Houston had lost tonight, they would have been down 3-0, and no team has ever overcome that in the NBA, and I don't think the first time would have been against the two-time defending champions, in my opinion, the most talented team ever assembled in the current Golden State Warriors. So, kudos to Harden for rescuing the Rockets. That's why I think segment one, we largely discussed what a big game this was for him, not just from the standpoint of this series and season, which stays alive courtesy of what he did, but also for a guy whose playoff reviews have been somewhat mixed. To see him deliver on that stage gives you hope this season and beyond that he does have that killer gene, that he does have that clutch gene, that even when things are rolling against him, that he is able to dig deep and find a way. That's what James Harden did tonight, and to me, he's clearly the lead storyline. That said, up and down the roster, there were heroes. Eric Gordon, 30 points, 7 of 14 from 3. Chris Paul, 14 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. PJ Tucker and Clint Capella, a combined 23 boards. PJ's defense on Kevin Durant, I mentioned his 46. Well, 39 came in the first, 38 minutes. Down the stretch, he was not a dominant player because Tucker was on him and was able to force him in to tough shots. Iman Shumpert off the bench, that's been a story for the Rockets. Outside of Austin Rivers, who again had some really good moments. Rivers' defense on Curry, by the way, has been tremendous. Steph Curry tonight, just 7 of 23, 2 of 9. Rivers really flusters him and forces him into some tough looks, even when the rim does not. Ha ha. Beyond that, though, the Rockets, they've had that from Austin. They didn't in game one, unfortunately, and if they had had him, who knows, maybe they win that game. Beyond that, they have been searching for anyone to step up. Daniel House has struggled. He hasn't been very good. Tonight, the Rockets said he had a foot injury, so he did not play. Nene has been decent in limited minutes, but this is clearly not his matchup. Gerald Green was, the guy he was in game one when he was a minus 16 in just 7 minutes. So even though the Rockets are supposed to be deep against a team as good as Golden State, they can expose any hole. Kenneth Faried is a player that against a lot of teams, his energy can be infectious against the Warriors and their shooters. Any defensive breakdown can prove costly, and so I think that's why the Warriors are hesitant to give him much run, or the Rockets are hesitant to in this series. So they needed someone, and the wily experience of Iman Shumpert, this is why the Rockets gave up a first-round draft pick for him at the deadline. Now, when they traded for him from the Sacramento Kings, he was shooting nearly 37% from three-point range. In the last 2 months in Houston, the 37% fell to 30%. That's going from an above-average shooter to a well-below-average shooter. And in this system where so much is dependent on your ability to hit threes, that's a huge factor. So even though he's fairly smart, even though he's energetic, he plays hard, he's got a pretty good hoops IQ, he's certainly not afraid of the moment, having been a part of that championship 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers team against these Warriors. There's a lot of virtues to him. But if he shoots below 30% from three, there's only so much you can do. Well, tonight, he brought the energy, he had the savvy, but he made 3 of his 5 threes, and that made all the difference in his 18 minutes off the bench. The Rockets needed someone, anyone, after Austin Rivers to step up. We kept saying role players play better at home. Who would it be? Tonight, it was Iman Shumpert, and those minutes were so, so critical. Again, of James Harden's 41 points, 28 came in the second half in overtime. He actually started 2 of 9. Now, how the Rockets withstood it? A lot of it was Eric Gordon. He was hot. He couldn't make his first couple of threes, but he got going by attacking the rim, which is something against the Warriors in particular he's been so, so good at. Really, this series, it's felt like he is the secondary creator after Harden rather than Chris Paul. And then eventually the threes started falling as well. Eric was so big. Really, he's been the storyline for the Rockets since March 1st when they've gone from good to great as a team. We say that a lot. And then defensively, when PJ Tucker can stay out of foul trouble, that was the biggest thing. You'll look at the game and say, when the Rockets were up by double digits in the third quarter, why did they let the Warriors back in it? Well, they didn't have Tucker because he got his fourth foul to pick up Kevin Durant. And without Tucker, look, Kevin Durant is perhaps the most talented basketball player on planet Earth. He is that good, and that's your best defender to pick him up. There's only so much that you can do. So I understand why the Warriors, and especially with Durant getting as hot as he did, were able to make a push.
You just have to be able to counter their runs. And while James Harden was the key in the second half, and especially late in the game and in overtime, that and, as mentioned, defense, when it really got late and the Rockets' offense got sticky, but fortunately so did the Warriors. Well, throughout the game, and especially the first half, it was Iman Shumpert, his energy, and yes, his three-point shooting that made so much of a difference, allowing the Rockets to push back. Is he the answer? I don't know. But I think a lot of what's been plaguing the Rockets is wanting to see someone get a confidence booster. Someone needed to have a good night on that bench aside from Austin Rivers. That's what Shumpert got tonight. So we'll see how it carries over until Monday, but I am cautiously optimistic because certainly his track record in Sacramento and beyond that, what he did with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he can be effective defensively. He's smart. There is a reason the Rockets traded a first-round draft pick for him, and no, it wasn't just to duck the luxury tax. This is a guy they wanted. They almost acquired him on July 1st, 2017, instead of P.J. Tucker. As great as P.J. Tucker has been for the Rockets, and he was tonight, clearly, his rebounding, his defense on KD. He even hit a floater in overtime when the Rockets seemed a little bit tense to open up the scoring. That was big. The Rockets nearly, in July 2017, picked Iman Shumpert over P.J. Tucker. Now, Shumpert, it would have been a trade, but they were looking to fill that role. That's how much they've wanted him. So even though the Rockets did slide just beneath the luxury tax with that trade, that was not the only point to it. Daryl Morey gave up that first-round pick, which is useful in trade offers down the line, because they believed in Iman Shumpert, aside from any cash considerations. It's someone they have wanted for a long time, the 3-and-D that they've been looking for, especially after losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute in the offseason. And really, since coming to Houston, his defense has been fine. It's just the guy they traded for was shooting nearly 37% from three, and now in Houston, he's been shooting below 30%. And no matter what he gives you on the defensive end of the floor, it's tough in the Rockets system with Mike D'Antoni to play a guy who you can't trust from three-point range. And against the Warriors out in Oakland in game two, he could not hit the broad side of a barn. He was nowhere close. Tonight, those minutes were absolutely crucial. So when you look at what went right for the Rockets in this game, they did so many little things. They were down by 9 after the first quarter in game one and game two. Tonight, they got off to a better start. They were only down 1. Clint Capella made a statement early that he was ready to play. 11 rebounds, 13 points, just one block, but that block was an emphatic statement, rejecting Andre Iguodala, who skied in for a dunk attempt. Capella got him clean. Well, not the most embarrassing block dunk of the night. That would be the rim on Steph Curry. Again, ha-ha. But Capella, he made a statement early on that this was not like the games out in Oakland. He was here to play. He stepped up in a huge, big way, 13-11, 6-9, even played some down the stretch. And that was so critical to what Houston needed because it wasn't just about the close. Now, in segment one, we talked about what James Harden did late, and he was great. But against the Warriors, there's all sorts of potential runs throughout a game that you have to snuff out. And there were so many. Shumpert in the first half. Capella late in the first quarter when the Warriors did get off to a decent lead early in the game, but at the end of the quarter, it was only a one-point margin as opposed to 9 because Capella finished some of those lobs. It wasn't clean. Most of them were not dunks, but he was able to finish, which he did not, out in Oakland. Clint stepped up. He was a big boy. The rebounding, mentioned Tucker with 12, CP with 8, Harden with 9. There were so many little things, which you need all of those throughout a game against the Golden State Warriors. Austin Rivers had just 8 points, but they came at such big times, including a 3 with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to put Houston up 4. So big because the points down the stretch were so hard to come by for both teams. And of course, his defense mentioned limiting Curry to just 7 of 23. And for the series as a whole, boy, has Curry really struggled against the Rockets. And Austin Rivers has had a lot to do with that in game 2 and game 3. So James Harden will be the clear lead story, 41 points. Eric Gordon with 30 on better than 50% shooting is the secondary star, even over Chris Paul. Those are obvious storylines, and really, we've been talking about those two since the start of March. They have kind of been the story as the Rockets finished the season 20-5 and then took out the Jazz, a very good team, in round 1, 4-1. James Harden, Eric Gordon, they've been doing it for a while. against the Golden State Warriors, it can't be just one or two guys. It's got to take a full team. Clint Capella, after struggling so much in the first two games, this was his best game of the series. He was still a negative, but minus six is a heck of a lot better than minus 19 in terms of the plus minus. And of course, that's not a perfect metric anyway, but certainly a 13-point improvement reflects progress. PJ Tucker mentioned his boards. He got in a little bit of foul trouble, but when it mattered, what's amazing is that he had four fouls early in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter in overtime, even largely guarding Kevin Durant. He didn't pick up another foul. Austin Rivers off the bench, he was strong again. And then Iman Shumpert, of all of the guys, we didn't even know if he would be in the rotation this series. He barely played at all against Utah. To give you those type of minutes against Golden State, that's what allowed the Rockets to stay in striking distance so that James Harden ultimately could close the door. And Chris Paul, I mean, I've mentioned his rebounding, but his defense is still so good. Early in the game, the Rockets struggled a lot with the back cuts and the easy shots for Golden State. Down the stretch, a lot was made of the Rockets not having a field goal in the last 5 minutes. Well, Golden State didn't have many either because PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, there are so few breakdowns with guys that are so aware of their surroundings. So many little things are what put the Rockets in position to have James Harden slam the door late. And I'm sure some of you are listening to all this and saying, Ben, James Harden scored 40. Eric Gordon scored 30, a better than 50% shooting. The Rockets were at home. They led by double digits early in the second half, and they had to win in overtime against a Warriors squad that was up 2-0. What does this really mean? And my answer to that would be the Warriors won the first two games at Oracle by a combined 10 points. And in one of them, there were a ton of questionable calls, to say the least, that went against the Rockets. And there was no Austin Rivers. Either of those games could have gone in Houston's favor. So you can play this game about how close it was both ways. The bottom line is these two teams, they know each other so well. The level of basketball, the attention to detail is so high that most games are going to be close. No one is running off and hiding anymore. Last year in the playoffs, you had game two. The Rockets won by 22. The Warriors had that 40-plus point beatdown in game three. And then game six, they eventually won by 29. You're not seeing that anymore. These two teams, the Rockets, in the Chris Paul era, they've now won 9 times with CP against the Warriors. Golden State has won 8. These teams are pretty evenly matched, so no matter what gym they play in, generally speaking, you can guess that it's going to be close. It's going to go down to the wire. It just comes down to whether you make the plays. Tonight, the Rockets did. Celebrate it. And if they win on Monday night, the series is tied at 2. And all of a sudden, at that point, it is a best of 3, and even though 2 of the final 3 would be in Oracle Arena, at that point, the Rockets will start to put some pressure on Golden State, and we'll see what happens from there. Final thoughts as we close out this Sunday morning episode of Locked On Rockets, recapping the 126-121 overtime victory by the Rockets over the Warriors in Game 3. I'm Ben DuBose, your host. This is Locked On Rockets, and in this third and final segment, the key thing that I want to remind everyone, the Rockets, with this win, they're down 2-1 in the best of 7 series, but this is literally the same position that they were in a year ago. Now, I'm sure some of you will say, but Ben, last year they had home court. This year they don't. Well, actually, last year's series, even though they had home court going in, they'd already lost it in game one when they got beat by double digits in Houston. So in both scenarios, it was 2-1, Golden State leading, and of the final 4 games, potentially, 2 in Houston, 2 in Golden State. The only difference this year is games 4 and 6, potentially, that are in Houston, games 5 and 7 at Oakland in Oracle Arena. So in the grand scheme, you're right back where you were a year ago. And that's what's so silly when I see so much skepticism over the Rockets losing the first 2 games of this series. Look, it's not like last year's Rockets really showed you that much to start the series either. It was game 4 and game 5, the swing games that could have gone either way, that the Rockets, before Chris Paul's hamstring injury in the closing seconds of game 5, really made their move. That was when they took a hold of the series. Through the first 3 games, honestly, the Rockets have been more competitive in the first 3 games of the 2019 series against the Warriors than they were in 2018. So in terms of looking forward, honestly, you can see a path for the Rockets in 2019 a little bit easier than I could have in 2018 when they were down 2-1 and coming off a 40-point loss at Oracle Arena. This year's Rockets team is now in the same spot. Now, do they have to win Monday? Of course, because if they fall down 3-1, it's tough to see them overcoming it, although the Warriors have blown a 3-1 lead before. I think we're all aware of that. But beyond just the obvious fact that, sure, they need to even the series at 2, well, guess what? That was the same thing, that the same pressure that they faced a year ago. And in Game 4, they fell behind 12-0. They were down double digits early in the fourth quarter. They just had to respond and win a tight game. And they did. And then in Game 5, they did again. So that's why I never understand the last few days, the panic. It's not like last year's series against the Warriors really started all that well either. So the Rockets, they have lots of positive experiences to draw upon. And that's why I don't think there was ever really any, oh my God, what's happening after we fall down 0-2? Look, it was 2 games at Oakland. They were both competitive. And if you win Game 3, which now they did, you're back in the same exact spot you were a year ago. Now, does it guarantee anything? Of course not. Because Game 4 and Game 5 a year ago, you could have flipped one or two shots in there and it might change everything. So the Warriors, they could win this series in 5. That's entirely possible. The Warriors could also end up losing it in 6 or 7. This series is that close. So that's why I never really understood the hysteria. And in terms of where we go from here, the Rockets are in a good position. Not a great position. I wish they had taken one of the first two in Oracle Arena. But the bottom line is, a year ago, when they came so damn close and we all think a hamstring away, they were in the same spot. 2-1 and they needed to win at least 1 game at Oracle Arena of the final 2. And they did. And the Rockets in the other one, in last year's case, it was Game 5. This year's case will need to be Game 4 on Monday. They took care of business at home, and they got the win on the road. Well, now they have that same opportunity this year. We'll see if they take advantage of it. But as we head towards Monday, I feel pretty good. It's a Rockets team that has been in this spot before. They absorbed a haymaker from Kevin Durant, a Warriors team that smelled blood and had every opportunity to knock the Rockets out. They couldn't do it. And beyond just the overall tenacity the Rockets played with, a lot of clutch performances, the crowd was fantastic. Above all else, they wanted this game. They fought. They hustled. This was reminiscent of how the Rockets got in the mud and dug deep a year ago. And on top of all of that, what we didn't see a year ago was James Harden in this particular series taking over a game when it truly mattered most in the final seconds and having those statement plays. This time, on top of all of that, we had James Harden in the postseason having the same types of moments in the clutch that he had in the regular season. So I certainly don't feel worse than I did after Game 3 a year ago, and I think I might actually feel a little bit better. Not saying they're going to win the series, but certainly there's a reason to be optimistic and a heck of an opportunity entering Monday night's Game 4 in which the Rockets can potentially tie the series at 2 heading back to Oakland for Wednesday night's Game 5, which is now official. Anyway, this is where we'll wrap it on this late Saturday night / early Sunday morning. As always, thanks so much for listening. And if you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Be on Twitter. If that's not your thing, Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. The website at LockedOnRockets.com. Email address LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can get in contact with me. You can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Also, beyond just listening to the show and interacting, if you'd be kind enough to please subscribe to the show, I strongly urge you to do so and even leave a positive 5-star review. That's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers through positive subscriber figures and reviews, and keep the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, along with several other locations. And on top of all of that, if you're using a smart device and you're going to the gym, you're in the car, you can just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episode that way as well. One final time, the happy final from Toyota Center. On this Saturday evening, Rockets 126, Warriors 121 in overtime in Game 3. Rockets win their first game of the series to come within 2-1. Game 4, in which the Rockets will have an opportunity to tie the series. That game will also be in Houston. That comes Monday night. Until then, enjoy the remainder of your weekend, what's left of it, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of everything Houston Rockets basketball.